June 2002.
Section A. Question 1. The deadline for the sociology and computer courses is the day after tomorrow.
But I haven't decided which courses to take yet.
What are the man and woman talking about?
Question 2. I'm looking for an apartment with a monthly rent of around $200 in this neighborhood. Can you give me some advice on that?
Well, it's rather hard to find anything for less than $300 around here. Rents are lower in the suburbs, but you'll need transportation if you choose to live there.
What do we learn from the conversation?
Question 3. Well, tonight we have Professor Brown in the studio to talk about his recent book, Fashion Images. Good evening, Professor.
Good evening, and thank you for inviting me here this evening.
What is the woman doing?
Question 4. Have you run up against any problems in getting your passport renewed?
I haven't started applying yet.
What do we know from the conversation? Question 5. I must point out that trials of new medicine are expensive, and you can never guarantee success.
But there is a very good chance in this case. I do hope you will go ahead in view of the potential benefit to mankind.
What are the two speakers talking about?
Question 6. What's the difference between a lesson and a lecture?
Well, they're both ways of imparting knowledge, but the main difference is that you participate in a lesson, whereas you just listen to a lecture. A lecture's generally given to a much larger group.
What does the man mean? Question 7. It's awfully dark for 4 o'clock. Do you think it's going to rain?
You'd better do something about that watch of yours. It must have stopped hours ago. Mine says 7.
What conclusion can we draw from this conversation?
Question 8. You're looking a little overwhelmed.
Exactly. You know, I got a million things to do, and all of them have to be finished within 3 hours.
What does the woman mean? Question 9. Looks like I'm going to be a little late for class. I hope Professor Clark doesn't start on time today.
Are you kidding? You can set your watch by the time he starts his class.
What can be inferred about Professor Clark? Question 10. I'm both excited and nervous about the job interview this afternoon.
Take it easy. Just wear tidy and clean clothes and respond truthfully to inquiries. Remember, honesty is the best policy.
What do we learn about the man? Section B.
Passage 1. Jane Brown has been married for 12 years. She has 3 children and lives in a suburb outside Columbus, Ohio. When her youngest child reached school age, Jane decided to go back to work. She felt that she should contribute to the household finances. Her salary could make the difference between a financial struggle and a secure financial situation for her family. Jane also felt bored and frustrated in her role as a homemaker and wanted to be more involved in life outside her home. Jane was worried about her children's adjustment to this new situation, but she arranged for them to go stay with a woman nearby after school each afternoon. They seemed to be happy with the arrangement. The problem seemed to be between Jane and her husband, Bill. When Jane was at home all day, she was able to clean the house, go grocery shopping, wash the clothes, take care of the children, and cook 2 or 3 meals each day. She was very busy, of course, but she succeeded in getting everything done. Now these same things need to be done, but Jane has only evenings and early mornings to do them. Both Jane and Bill are tired when they arrive home at 6 p.m. Bill is accustomed to sitting down and reading the paper or watching TV until dinner is ready. This is exactly what Jane feels like doing, but someone has to fix dinner, and Bill expects it to be Jane. Jane is becoming very angry at Bill's attitude. She feels that they should share the household jobs, but Bill feels that everything should be the same as it was before Jane went back to work.
Questions 11 to 14 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 11. Why did Jane want to go back to work? Question 12. How did Jane spend her days before she went back to work? Question 13. What problem arose when Jane went back to work? Question 14. What does the story try to tell us? Passage 2. The Decade for Natural Disaster Reduction is a program designed to reduce the impact of natural disasters throughout the world. With support from the United Nations, countries will be encouraged to share information about disaster reduction, for instance, information about how to plan for and cope with hurricanes, earthquakes, and other natural disasters. One of the most important things the program plans to do is to remind us of what we can do to protect ourselves. For example, we can pack a suitcase with flashlights, a radio, food, drinking water, and some tools. This safety kit may help us survive a disaster until help arrives. Besides, the program will encourage governments to establish building standards, emergency response plans, and training programs. These measures can help to limit the destruction by natural disasters. The comparatively mild effects of the Northern California earthquake in 1989 are good evidence that we do have the technology to prevent vast destruction. The recent disasters, on the other hand, prove that people will suffer if we don't use that technology. When a highway collapsed in Northern California, people were killed in their cars. The highway was not built according to today's stricter standards to resist earthquakes. Individuals and governments have to be far-sighted. We should take extra time and spend extra money to build disaster safety into our lives. Although such a program can't hold back the winds or stop earthquakes, they can save people's lives and homes.
Questions 15 to 17 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 15. What is the purpose of the program mentioned in this passage? Question 16. What can we learn from the Northern California earthquake in 1989? Question 17. Why did the highway in Northern California collapse? Passage 3. Living at the foot of one of the world's most active volcanoes might not appeal to you at all. But believe it or not, the area surrounding Mount Etna in Italy is packed with people. In fact, it is the most densely populated region on the whole island of Sicily. The reason is that rich volcanic soil makes the land fantastic for farming. By growing and selling a variety of crops, local people earn a good living. For them, the economic benefit they reap surpasses the risk of dying or losing property in one of the volcano's frequent eruptions. People everywhere make decisions about risky situations this way, that is, by comparing the risks and the benefits. According to the experts, the size of the risk depends on both its probability and seriousness. Let's take Mount Etna, for example. It does erupt frequently, but those eruptions are usually minor. So the overall risk for people living nearby is relatively small. But suppose Mount Etna erupted every day. Or imagine that each eruption there killed thousands of people. If that were the case, the risk would be much larger. Indeed, the risk would be too large for many people to live with, and they would have to move away.
Questions 18 to 20 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 18. How do people make decisions about risky situations? Question 19. What do we know about Mount Etna from the passage? Question 20. What will people living near Mount Etna do in the face of its eruptions?
Listen to the lesson, welcome.
听力课堂，欢迎。
听啊，讲啊。